Well, I'm going to pray as we open up the Word this morning. Why don't you join with me? Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for Your life that You give. Lord, that Your manna from heaven, Lord, is for our hearts, Lord, to nourish us. Lord, as we study Your Word, would we be good listeners to what You're saying to us? In Jesus' name, amen. We're in the sermon series in the book of Proverbs, right? The book of wisdom. I mean, I don't know about you, but I could use a little wisdom sometimes. And my wife would think I need a lot of wisdom sometimes. But it's really good. Where do we go find it? And one of the places we talk about wisdom is there's a book about, there's a lot of great saying or things to do in principles. But as you study the book of Proverbs, as we study together, think of wisdom as being the person of Jesus. As we read Proverbs, as we look, that we're really discovering who God is. We're discovering what He has for us. As we talked about wisdom, we began to kind of, we're doing instead of verse by verse, we're doing it topically. And the first section we looked at was knowing wisdom. You know, what is wisdom? What's foolishness? How do you become wise? You know, and this, that was our first knowing wisdom. And this next section we're doing is knowing God. To really be wise in what Proverbs teaches about knowing God. And then breaking that down into sections is we're talking about in this first week the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And I'm going to talk about 9 facets of the fear of the Lord. And there's going to be other ones that we are not going to mention, but just other ways to think about things. I know that as I'm not a big journal person. A journal is like, you know, where you write down your thoughts. But as I've grown in that, I'm always surprised of how I can do the short answer in my mind. But as I write stuff down, I was like, oh man, there's more there. Because once you write it down, you can move on to something else. But this is kind of like a journaling of what is the fear of the Lord. As we look at these 9 facets, the to know God is to know the fear of the Lord. And this first one, the fear of the Lord is God-centeredness. And we'll just go back to one of our theme verses from Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I just think about ingredients. You know, you cook something, you make something. I'm really big on, I follow recipes to the T. My wife's about that much. Oh, that's, you didn't measure that. You know what kills me is she does our laundry soap the same way. About that much. I'm like, when it's new, it comes out fast, and when it gets less, it comes out slow. It's like, let it go. Remember, we talked about things that were important. That bothered the heck out of me. And the Lord said, let it go. About the time I let it go, she's like, okay, I'll measure the cup for you. But when we talk about wisdom, you can't make something without ingredients. You can't make something without ingredients. And there is no wisdom without the fear of the Lord. You can't have one without the other. Because we're not talking about worldly wisdom. We're talking about godly wisdom, the kind of wisdom that covers everything we do in life, that covers what happens and leads to eternity. Talk about the fear of the Lord. You know, I think we all have an understanding that starts out with fear of the Lord is really about punishment. Wait till your dad gets home. Right? You're like, oh man, I'm going to be busted. And you just feel sick inside as you see the car drive up. And you just know, man, whatever's going to happen ain't going to be good. And so we think of the fear of the Lord in that way. But really, there's another aspect of it. Yeah, there's a fear of punishment. There's things that, there's a consequences. But in a more important way, as we talk about the fear of the Lord, is doing anything, fearing to do anything that would grieve God. To be have such honor and respect and awe of who God is like, man, I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to make you sad by my choices. I don't want to do anything that would dishonor you. 1 Chronicles 16:25, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. True fear of the Lord really is the result of praise and honor of God. The more that we recognize God's amazingness, the more we will fear Him, the more we will honor Him, the more we will not want to dishonor Him. You can let fear of the Lord be the center of your life, or you can have something else be the center of your life. I think about that great folk songwriter, Bob Dylan, who said, you're going to have to serve somebody. You either serve the fear of the Lord and honor Him, or you serve some other reason or purpose for living. Either God's Word, where it's going to be the plumb line and guide for your life, or it's going to be something else. It's going to be what people think of you. It's going to be what you feel at the moment. The impulsiveness of life, that boom, anything that happens, they're set off and doing something. Or are you going to be allow God to serve you? What Jesus said was in Luke 16:13, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Whatever you do, everything will be done in light of who or what you serve. Here's my question. What do you serve? Because whatever you serve will require you to reject the other. You can't do two things. One thing. So another facet. The fear of the Lord is changing deeply. Again, from Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. As we embrace wisdom and instruction, we're going to be changed by that. I think about why do you choose to do what's right and good? Why do you choose to do what is right and good? Do you do it so that you will avoid punishment? Or you do it because you genuinely have a hate for what is evil and wrong? Because we've been both places, right? Where like a kid, as a young child, you're training them. You want them to obey you because they're going to get spanked or lose a privilege. But as they grow, you want them to have a genuine love for what is right and hate for what is wrong. Just like God wants us to grow. Deep change is faith in that sacrificial love that we talked about in communion that Jesus gave. It's two things that happen from it. One is it humbles us. And the other thing does, it affirms us. It humbles us in the overwhelming reality that there's nothing that we can bring good to the table. Part of the most humbling thing there's lots of humbling things. But I'd say probably the most changing thing in the house, I remember realizing that I was often wrong and my wife was right. And I tease about that, but you know, just saying the words, I was wrong. And because we love each other, we like to say, what did you say? I'm sorry, can you say that again? What? Just to kind of make it real. It's like, okay, you're right. You were right. You told me. I was. It's not just you were right, but the joy of hearing I was wrong. About what? But it's just that it humbles us. It says, man, there's nothing that we can bring to the table that's any good. But the second thing is we grow in the fear of the Lord is we realize that it affirms us. Is that even in spite of not having anything to bring, God chooses us. God chooses us. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That is so weird to think. You know, some of us have a hard time thinking that we measure up. I think one of the coolest things about growing in faith and understanding who you are is when you have trouble, grow from having trouble meeting people in the eye to being able to look people right in the eye and being able to stand up straight, not because I'm so good, because what Jesus is doing in me, because He's changed me, because He loves me in spite of myself. I have value because God loves me and called me. It's under that weird thing. It's that weird thing. As in the moment that we discover that, it begins to change us. We all have voices. Voices in the sense that you're a screw up. You'll never amount to anything. Here we go again. You're going to try to do that again? Those are voices that don't come from God. It comes from the enemy of our soul, who wants to take us out of a nothing better than just to make us impotent without any power. And God says, no, I love you. I chose you. I want to be a people who do what is right, not because it's in my best interest, but because I want to see God's delight in me. You know, it's interesting to talk about honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you. I was thinking about, we always think of that as a kid thing, right? You need to honor me when I tell you to do something. You need to, no, it doesn't stop just for kids, but it continues into adulthood. That we can honor a parent. And I just think about, as a grown man with kids of my own, there was nothing, my parents could still pass a blessing to me. They could say, Scott, we're so proud of you. 42 years old. We love how you talk to your kids. You are doing what your dad and I didn't do or understand. Whew. I remember my mom saying that after I had just got after my daughter and she started crying. It's like, what kind of dad makes her daughter cry? But yet she saw my love and what we were trying to address and grow our kids. There was such a blessing, and my dad would come to my house and affirm me and telling me he cared about me and what I was doing. It impacted me to realize that there is no end to the blessing that is those of you who have kids, an end to how you can pass on the blessing to them, whether they're young or whether they're old. You still can pass a blessing on to them to recognize who they are. Has the fear of the Lord changed you? Another facet that we have to look at. The fear of the Lord is resting in the Lord, resting in God. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Really. Can a person be untouched by trouble? Anybody here have trouble? I have trouble. It was a promise of Jesus, right? In this world you will have trouble. You will. Well, what is it talking about here? It's that our contentment, our joy in walking in the Lord will not be overthrown by circumstances. Right? That's the biggest testimony. I have friends who have struggled with cancer or terrible situations and yet bring peace to a room where there's a witness to nurses and doctors because of their peace in the midst of horrendous trouble and pain. Why? Because they've learned the fear of the Lord is rest. Their contentment does not depend on circumstances. Godly contentment is to be content. Regardless, like Paul confessed in Philippians 4:12, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And what is Paul's secret? It goes on, verse following in 4:13 says, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Depending on God in trouble can only be learned when? When we're in trouble. You don't learn about trusting God when things are hard, when things are easy. You learn it when it's hard. Say, okay, God, I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to get upset about this and mean. I'm going to trust you and say, God, I don't. And that's part of it, just even confessing. And why Christian fellowship is so important, because we need somebody's shoulder to cry on sometimes. To say, I'm super sad. I'm super upset. But to be reminded, says, you know what? God's got this. I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but God's got this. Will you just breathe deep with me? Now let it out slow. The peace of God brings rest and contentment. We can trust Him. He will take care of us. Christian contentment, there's a quote here, is finding delight in God's wise plan for my life and humbling, allowing Him to direct me in it. When we focus on what God has given, our contentment won't be taken from us. There's another facet. The fear of the Lord is trusting and enjoying God. Proverbs 14, verses 26 and 27. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Unless we trust God, we'll never obey Him. It starts, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust that what you say leads to life. Unless we trust God, we will never submit to whatever He allows to come in our life, whether we understand it or not. I mean, part of trusting God is things that we don't understand. It's like, why did this happen? You guys ever ask that sometimes? Why did this happen? Why did this go this way? It's an opportunity to say, okay, God, there's something you want to see me to see about who you are and about who I am and about who the world is that you're teaching me and growing me in it. I love that fortress, right? A secure fortress. We don't have many fortresses. You have to look at history, and whether it's European history, to see what a fortress looks like. It looks unscalable, and you're wondering, how in the world did anybody overtake this fortress, that, you know, sheer rock wall up, you know, 100 feet or whatever. It's just like, how could that ever be taken? But I love that, a secure fortress. As we trust the Lord, as we fear Him, as we live with Him, that His fortress cannot be captured or overthrown. Unlike our circumstances, unlike a friend, unlike a job, unlike possessions, unlike our own ability, those things that are all temporary security that we are tempted to put our security in, or even finances. Life flows out when we enjoy God. Enjoy the ride. I always think about it like a roller coaster ride. If you guys have ever been on them, I love to put my hands up in the air. One of those crazy people who I'm just going to take the challenge. But just enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. And I always laugh because there's two things that will happen. as you look at the person next to you who's grabbing on and they're white knuckles and they look like they're going to throw up. And then you got those other crazies with their hands in the air. I want to enjoy God, even in the treacherous ride and what going into the dark tunnel, you don't know what's going to happen, to say, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to delight in what you're going to do, God. I'm going to delight in the adventure. Not because of what I'm doing, but because what you're going to show me, how you're going to deliver me, how you're going to provide, how you're going to use me as a witness in other people's lives, regardless of what comes. Trusting God was going to lead to our enjoyment of Him, especially in the unknown and hard to understand. And when our children, our friends see that we can enjoy life in hard circumstances, we will become a refuge to them. You know, as you enjoy that peace, you'll have people coming to you, sharing stuff with you, looking for you to provide that refuge and security because you have that peace, a place of hope. Does your fear of God grow your security and enjoyment of Him? There's another facet. The fear of the Lord is radical grace. Proverbs 20, verse 12. Ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. God's grace comes to everybody. We are all made in His image. It doesn't matter who you are. God's given you life. We all have experiences. Everybody doesn't have wisdom. Experiences don't create wisdom. You know, have you ever seen people go through the same thing over and over again? And it's like, when are you going to learn? It's like, why do you keep doing that? And then just because we have experiences doesn't mean we grow in wisdom. We need to recognize that with God, we need God's help. And we need to want and to receive His help. It's amazing to me, like little kids. In fact, we even have a name for it. It's called self-do-it. We had a friend, before we had kids, we were super observant of other people and how they raised their kids. Right? Have you done that? It's like, we're never going to give our kids hot dogs. That's so unhealthy. A macaroni and cheese? Are you kidding me? And then you have your own kids, and you're like, we're having hot dogs and macaroni and cheese. And they're like, yeah! You know, it's like we think we got it all figured out. We think we got the way to do things. But it's saying, it's those kids that if they're growing, when I talk about self-do-it, the kid who's trying to tie their shoe, who can't make their fingers work, and they say, can I help you? And they say, no, self do it. They think, those places where you ask somebody, hey, can I help you with that? No, I'm fine. I could do it myself. Those things that gets in the way, really, it's pride. It says that I can handle this on my own. And we do that even as Christians sometimes. We think that if I admit that I'm struggling, then I'm not a good Christian. That's a lie. Is it, anybody you look at that you think they got their life together, including pastors? I've got issues. Some of you have been in my house and seen my wife and I fight. It's like, what? I mean, you know, it just takes a while for Jackie to realize I'm right. And so, you know, there's some disagreement there. And so it just takes, when those happen, it's like we're real people. We got issues. We get to trust the Lord. We pray about things. I get to go back often and say, God, Jackie, would you forgive me? I shouldn't have said that or shouldn't have done that. That was a great idea and I didn't recognize it. And I just, those kind of things is to say, God, I need help. Would you say that with me? God, I need help. Don't be a self-do-it. Don't be a self-do-it. That radical grace that recognizes that we can't do anything apart from God. Go back to my grapevine, right? He says, unless you're plugged into the vine, you can do nothing. Nothing. And yet, plugged into this one vine is this amazing fruitfulness of clusters of grapes and greenery, all plugged into this one vine. At the same time, in Romans 3, verse 10, 11, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. It's God's radical grace, His unearned favor, His unearned love for us that we get to enjoy. When we realize and have insight into our brokenness, we're like, God, You are amazing. I can't believe You stuck it out with me. I say that to my wife. I can't believe You stuck it out with me. I was such a clueless knucklehead. I'm not anymore. I'm very insightful and loving now, but I used to be terrible. Okay, it's all relative, right? I'm still got issues, but I'm growing. The more grace and forgiveness we experience, the more we will grow in the fear of the Lord. Say, God, You are, thank You for putting up with me. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for being patient with me. Thank You for being kind to me. Thank You for loving me. Are you allowing God's grace to heal you? To experience God's grace is to have our hearts healed of arrogance, of hurt feelings, of anxieties, of fear of the future. Are you allowing God's grace to heal you? Here's another facet, and we'll do these last four pretty quickly. The fear of the Lord is practicing His presence. Proverbs 28:14. Blessed is the one who always trembles before You, God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. The fear of the Lord, I love this one, is practicing. Have you ever heard the verse says, pray continuously? Yeah. Right? It's not like when how do I open my eyes? I got to open my eyes to drive. No, just a heart of prayer, right? But practice God's presence continuously is to be aware of God's presence in everything you do, in every conversation, in every temptation, in every reaction, to realize that God is present, to consciously keep in our minds that God's right here. God is present in every circumstance. As I practice the fear of the Lord, I want to practice God's presence because it's going to guard me. It'll guard me from developing a hard heart toward God and towards people, even those who have hurt me. Another facet, the fear of the Lord is faith and works. Proverbs 16:6, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. Whose love and faithfulness covers our sin? Whose love and faithfulness? God's. God's love and faithfulness covers not our love and faithfulness, but His. I love Ephesians 2:8, for it is by what? Grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. God has taken care of our brokenness by covering it at the cross. Just like we celebrated communion this morning. So I can say, I got a new one. Thank You, Jesus. But it's not the end. We know that it's God by faith alone that we're saved. And we can't take any credit for our own salvation. But as we live and honor the One who created us and forgave us and gave us life, it'll change how we live our life. We are saved by faith alone. But faith does not remain alone. We're saved by faith alone. But faith does not remain alone. We respond to it. Faith produces life change. It's like, I believe that God wants me to grow. Therefore, I'm going to read. I'm going to have conversations with people. I'm going to take classes. I'm going to study. I'm going to serve in my community. Because I believe that that's who God is and who He's called me to be. And here's a second to last one here. The fear of the Lord in every area of life. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. To fear the Lord is to trust Him. To trust God is to obey Him in whatever He says, in whatever He sends. We talk about those circumstances, right? Saying, God, why did you do this? Instead of waving the fist at God, say, okay, I trust Him that He knows I needed this. Or that there's somebody else who needs to watch me walk through this. Or there's a place of that I need to trust Him in a bigger way. In every situation, commit to those hard circumstances. Those things, those sicknesses, those disappointments. That we can trust not only in whatever He says, whatever He sends, sins, but in this verse, in whatever we do. In whatever we do, in our work, in our play, in our intellect, in our thought life, in our planning, in our treatment of our bodies, in our treatment of others, of our friendships, of our marriages or romantic relationships, and treatment of our money and possessions, and a treatment of our emotional health, and treatment of our church family. When we commit whatever we do, He will establish our plans. And that, somebody can preach that like we get what we want. If you serve God, you will get everything you want. Is that true? No. Why? Because what we want... there's a country song, and you guys will know better. It's a, thank you, Jesus, for the prayers you didn't answer. I'm thankful. There's stuff I prayed for that was not good for me. I didn't know it at the time. But in hindsight, I realized it. Thank you, Lord, for what you didn't answer. When I commit whatever I do to the Lord, He'll establish my plans. Why? Because my plans will become my plans will follow His plans. As we fear the Lord, it's like there's an intention of why we're doing what we're doing, that God will accomplish His good work. What's crazy is if you've discovered, like I have, when we pray and ask God for provision or for situation, it seems like He often doesn't answer the way I want Him to. In fact, I give Him three options. I say, God, you can do this. And I say, God, you can do it this way too. Or if you have to, you can do it this way. And guess how God does it? None of the above. It's like, and to have a heart that's ready, okay, when I commit myself to Him, He will answer. It may not be the way I want Him to or the way I think I need Him to be answered, but He will answer. And finally, the fear of the Lord is the fear of the Holy One. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Our worldview is how we interpret things, how we understand creation, the meaning of life. It's like, why are you here? What is life about? Begins with our view of God. If I believe that I'm a masterful creation of His, that God is purposeful in what He does, that He's lovingly created me uniquely who I am, and that He is both bigger, higher than I can think or imagine, at the same time He's personal to every single person, wanting to have a conversation, wanting to laugh with us, wanting to enjoy, wanting to cry with us. I will stand in awe of the Lord Say, God, you're amazing. You're amazing. Somebody so big and so powerful and so awesome, and yet you care about me, that you care about my little... How many of you guys ever hesitated to bring God a prayer request because you thought it was too small? It's like, God, I'm embarrassed to even say this. Did you know what? God cares about those little inconsequential things. God, I hope that they're not out of cinnamon rolls this morning. It's like, doesn't that sound like a godly prayer? Did you know God cares about that? Yesterday, we had a small work crew yesterday working in here, and I went to Safeway, and my favorite are cinnamon rolls, number one. My favorite topping of cinnamon rolls is cream cheese frosting. And there was one box left. And like, my mouth is watering right now thinking about it. I love cinnamon rolls with cream cheese frosting. It is amazing. And I was like, that was such a sweet thing. Thank you, Lord. It was really about the guys working. It wasn't about me. I wanted to bless them with this gift, with coffee. God cares about the small stuff. He cares about the emotion, psychologically wrecking stuff, the practical stuff of broken cars and where money comes from and relationships. But he cares about the small stuff too, to have that kind of relationship. Think about all your friends, that the ones that are closest to you. You can laugh about things. You can talk about the simple things. You can talk about just enjoying together. I enjoy all those things. I enjoy working. I'm a guy. I don't talk a lot when I work. I'm one-dimensional when I work. If I talk to you, I will have to stop working. I can't talk and work. Did you know women can talk and work at the same time? I cannot. I'm one-dimensional. But in that place that we get to enjoy that relationship, to stand in awe of the Lord. And this proverb reminds us that to be fear of the Lord is to have understanding of who the Holy One is. The Holy One is who? Jesus. The one set apart, the one sent to die for us. Holy, set apart, righteous, sacrificing Lord. The better we know the Holy One, the more clearly we'll see our darkness, our own darkness and brokenness. The more thankful we will be. The deeper our knowledge of Jesus, the more joy we will have in the miracle of God's grace with us. To say, God, you're amazing. I get to love you and enjoy you in spite of myself. And you know, when I say stuff like that, you know what I hear Jesus say? It's about time you realize that. Have you ever heard Jesus say that to you? It's about time. You know, it's like, I don't know what to do, God. Would you help me? It's about time, Scott. Oh, man, I probably should go. I realize I messed up. I probably should go take care of that. It's about time. We get to enjoy. Are you ready to express your fear and honor of who God is? Not just fear of punishment, but so much more. Say, God, I want to delight in you. I want to have a hate for things that don't belong in my life. So that I can feel your pleasure that maybe you never got from a parent. That you can have your heavenly papa come and lay his hand on you and say, I am delighted in you. I love you. I care about you. Let's pray. As we confess, Lord, that we want that. That we want to have that relationship with you. We want to enjoy you. We want to be changed by you. Lord, I just ask anybody here this morning, Lord, that would confess you as Lord, that would say, I want to walk in the fear of the Lord, not the fear of punishment, but in awe of who you are, a God-centered life, a life that walks in rest, a life that practices your presence. If that's you this morning, whether you're online, you can, God sees you, or you're here in the building. If that's you this morning, that you recognize you haven't been walking in the fear of the Lord, in that awe, I just encourage you to raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? We thank you, Lord. Lord, I love to study your word, just because even if I, as I do this study in Proverbs, Lord, I'm touched. I just, this week I've been thinking about practicing your presence. Lord, I get so task-oriented, sometimes I forget why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm just doing it. Lord, I want you, me, to be aware, consciously aware of your presence in everything I do. Lord, I just pray as we looked at Proverbs, I pray that everybody in the room here, and those who would listen online, would grab a hold of one truth that in particularly spoke to their heart, that to say, Lord Jesus, would you help me walk in a bigger fear of who you are, Lord? For me, it's God's presence. I want to walk in awareness of God's both delight and sadness when I do things that make him sad, as well as when I do things that he delights and smiles over me. Lord, I pray that each of us in this room would recognize there's a place that we need to grow in, walking in awe of who you are. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We can't be wise without starting with an awe of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.